Good evening. Welcome back to Bedtime Stories with Thompson, and we are starting a brand new book, boys and girls, by one Herbert George Wells, also known as H.G. Wells, and the book, The War of the Worlds. Oh, yeah. You excited, Thompson?
Yeah!
Okay. Thompson is excited. About the author. H.G. Wells was a famous English writer of novels, history, and science books, and science fiction stories. But the Herbert George Wells, who was born in a London suburb in 1866, didn't appear destined for such fame. His father, a poor shopkeeper, could not afford a proper education for his son, so the boy was apprenticed to a clothmaker and later to a chemist. But Wells was not content with this work, and by studying hard, he won a scholarship to the Royal College of Science, where he studied biology. His training as a scientist and his love of writing led him to produce such imaginative science fiction works as The Time Machine, The Invisible Man, The First Men in the Moon, and The War of the Worlds. The inspiration for The War of the Worlds came one day when Wells and his brother Frank were strolling through the peaceful countryside in Surrey, south of London. They were discussing the invasion of the Australian island of Tasmania in the early 1800s by European settlers, who hunted down and killed most of the primitive people who lived there. To emphasize the reaction of these people, Frank said, "Suppose some beings from another planet were to drop out of the sky suddenly and begin taking over Surrey and then all of England." Wells was inspired by that "suppose" and went on to study the Surrey countryside, its towns, and its people. From this came the Martian invasion of Surrey and the War of the Worlds. H.G. Wells died at the age of 80 in 1946, but of all of his scientific and historical works, it is for his science fiction stories that he is best remembered by millions of readers today. Chapter 1.
Mysterious Bursts of Flame.
The little note in the London Daily Telegraph on the 13th of August, 1894, went almost unnoticed by most readers. Flaming gas bursts from Mars. Reports from the island of Java indicate the sighting of a mass of flaming hydrogen gas bursting out from the surface of Mars about midnight on the 12th. This flaming gas appeared to be moving with enormous speed towards Earth, but within 15 minutes, it became invisible. I myself had missed the article, so I was completely ignorant of what would soon become one of the greatest dangers to the human race. And I might have stayed ignorant until it was too late had I not met my old friend Ogilvy, a well-known astronomer, while out for a stroll. "I say there, Wells," he exclaimed upon seeing me. "What do you think of the news from Mars?" "News?" I asked, puzzled. "What news could there be from a planet 40 million miles from here?" "An exciting and unusual happening," cried Ogilvy. "A great light, a blaze almost, has burst from the surface of Mars." I looked at him quizzically, not quite certain that I could share his excitement. Guessing my thoughts, Ogilvy suggested, "Why not come up to my observatory tonight? We can study the heavens together." "Why not?" I thought, so I agreed to go. That night at midnight, I was taking my turn at the telescope when I saw a reddish flash around the edge of Mars. "Come quickly, Ogilvy," I cried. I never dreamed then that flash was the launching of an accurately aimed missile from Mars, following the same path to Earth, taken by the first one only 24 hours before. Yes, the things they were sending to us were flying swiftly and steadily across 40 million miles to bring much death and destruction to Earth. "Well, Ogilvy," I said as he turned away from the telescope an hour later, "are the Martians signaling us?" In the darkness of the observatory, he couldn't see the mocking smile on my face. "Ridiculous," he cried. "It's probably some meteorites falling in a heavy shower on Mars, or perhaps a huge volcano exploding." "But why do you doubt the existence of life on Mars?" I asked. "The chances of any sort of human life there are 1,000,000 to 1, he replied. "Remember, man, Mars is 140 million miles from the sun, and the light and heat it gets is barely half of what we get on Earth. Human life could not survive, for Mars is getting colder and colder." "But there is air and water on Mars," I argued. "Wouldn't that support life?" "Perhaps, perhaps," he replied, deep in thought. "But surely not life as advanced as ours." Little did I know that night that our planet was being watched closely by beings with greater intelligence than man, beings who were just as mortal as man, beings who had created instruments and weapons man has scarcely dreamed of, beings who watched Earth enviously and slowly made their plans to leave their dying planet and take over their only hope for survival, a green, fertile planet crowded with what they considered inferior animals. Other observers on Earth saw the flames burst forth from Mars that night, the night after, and again each night after that, and for a total of 10 nights. Why the shots stopped after the 10th night, no one on Earth has attempted to explain. Meanwhile, the missiles the Martians had fired at us sped earthward at many miles a second, nearer and nearer. But even with this death and destruction hanging over us, men went about their daily activities, peaceful and safe, giving only an occasional glance at the bright dot of light in the heavens called Mars. End of chapter 1.
Could you please?
Good night.